If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Coming up on Podcast Unlocked, episode 395, it's our E3 predictions. Our annual tradition will predict what we think Microsoft is going to do at E3 2019. Plus, the next Call of Duty is imminent, and the name of it seems to have gotten out. We'll talk all about that. Plus, Dead Island 2, apparently not dead, which is surprising to us. We'll talk about all that and more coming up on Podcast Unlocked.
Podcast Unlocked.
Of course, by we, I mean Ryan McCaffrey and Miranda Sanchez.
Hello, it's just us.
And no one else. Tyrell is neck deep in scheduling hell.
Yep.
It is a sword that he nobly falls on for the entire team.
Thank you, Brandon. We appreciate your hard work.
We really do, because the reality is with a team and a sort of effort of the size that IGN puts forth, it just wouldn't work if four people were trying to manage the schedule.
Yeah, if we were all booking our own appointments for E3, it would just be absolute chaos. Like, there has to be that one point person who gets shoved in a room for like 2 months. Like, just figure out all of E3
requests. Everything goes through them so that nothing's overlapping.
Yep.
That means we have to actually put Brandon in like a hermetically sealed, like bulletproof Pope mobile kind of box so that nothing happens to him.
Pretty much. It's like, you know the schedule. You gotta stay alive until at least E3.
If he gets sick or if anything happens to him, screwed.
Yeah, it's like, please be okay. I mean, of course, anyway, aside from scheduling E3, but, you know. I remember before we used to put the person who was scheduling E3 literally in a meeting room, like in a meeting room for a month.
Yeah.
They were not allowed to come out. And they just had papers everywhere. It was like chaos. Somehow Brandon's avoided that, and he's still just sitting at his desk across from him like, hey, Brandon, how's E3 planning?
But don't
going?
Bother him.
Yeah, except that I'm like, hey, you want to get me on this appointment? That'd be great. So that's kind of the benefit of sitting in the person scheduling.
So as of recording here, we are less than 2 weeks from – actually, technically, we're 2 weeks from the official start of E3.
Yes. It's
2 weeks from
– Tuesday. Yeah.
It's 2 weeks and 1 hour from right now is when the show floor opens as we record this.
It's always weird to think about it that way, because E3 technically starts when the show floor opens. And so people are like, well, when's E3? Is like, doesn't it start earlier than that? And E3 technically doesn't include the press conferences. They are part of E3, but they are not part of like official E3 timing dates, because it's more about the show floor for those dates.
Yeah. The but E3 before E3.
Yeah. We all know.
The real E3.
The big stuff happens before, so.
Yeah, we'll have, if all goes well, we'll be honestly two-thirds done with E3 by the time the show floor actually opens.
Yeah.
We'll still be going to see and play and write up previews of stuff, but we'll have seen, played, heard about, wrote about a lot of it already.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things, is that a lot of the conferences have their own kind of show afterward for people who attended to go play the games sometimes, and kind of get more of that time for hands-on, so then you just run back to your hotel and start writing as much fast as you can sort of deal. So
yeah, you and I will be in attendance at the Microsoft Showcase, which is the event following the E3, the Microsoft press briefing.
Yes.
since they got it set up the same way they did last year. So we'll go down there. It's this, it's in the same spot. It's on the stage. It's on the at least it was last year.
Yeah,
that it was on the literal stage.
We were talking about that, how it threw us off because we thought they were going to do some big battle royale announcement because they had so many stations set up, and it wasn't that at all. It was just set up for later.
Set up for later, exactly. Plenty of kiosks. So yeah, the really for those of you listening to this podcast that care about Xbox, the Sunday and Monday are going to be probably your two biggest days as Xbox fans, in the sense of Sunday being the briefing, Sunday night the showcase. We'll play stuff. We'll be writing things Sunday night, and then probably just pick up the pieces on Monday morning if necessary as well. So, yeah, those are going to be the probably two biggest Xbox days, and then you can kind of settle into a normal E3 rhythm after that. But yeah, it's going to be good. I look forward to it every year. It's I describe E3 as being, or at least as covering E3, as being kind of in the eye of a hurricane.
Oh, absolutely.
Where there's things. I know every year something like stuff gets announced, like on Major Nelson's the Inside Xbox thing, and I don't hear about it because we're there and we're at the eye of the hurricane, and there's all this noise in the around us. That's like, well, I can't make heads or tails of that. I'm too busy doing, like, trying to stay alive.
Yeah, it's like you can only focus on so much, and that focus is so intense that everything else just flies past you, and it's fine.
Yeah,
like, someone else will get it. It's fine.
So that is sort of the irony. Is I mean, I've missed one E3 ever. In my career, I'm not quite old enough to have been to every E3, but since I've been doing this professionally, so this will be my, I guess, 16th E3. And one year I had to stay home because it was the economy had turned south, you know, and was it 2008? So it's the 2009 E3 I didn't go to because my employer at the time, they basically just had to cut costs and try and be as frugal as possible, so only one person per staff.
Oh my gosh!
Got to go to E3, and I did not get to go.
That is a lot of work.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it just sort of was. It was just the reality of the time. Yeah. You know, that was a really tough time. There were, you know, they were doing everything to avoid layoffs, and you know, it was what it was. And I was bummed not to go, but I was happy to have a job.
That's the most important part, you know. Growing E3 is great, but having a job is a little bit more important.
So I watched that E3 from home. That was the one, since I've been in the business here, it's the one time I've watched it from the outside, from outside the hurricane, from like a safe distance from, you know, a whole, like hundreds of miles away. And yeah, like it was very different following along with E3 from outside. It was arguably easier. So it's like the IGN audience, you guys listening to this, You're in great shape. You know, it is fun to be there. Don't get me wrong, but you won't miss anything because you go to IGN.com/E3. That's our sort of E3 hub page. It's there. It's alive all year long, but it only gets used really for a week or two a year.
You can check it other times, but you're not going to see much new things there.
Yeah. So bookmark that if you haven't already. And of course, the homepage is certainly a good spot to go to as well. But yeah, I mean, that's, you're going to catch everything there from it'll be the total team effort, you know, because I'm feeding into it, but not doing everything. You're feeding into it. Mm-hmm. You're not doing everything.
Nope.
IGN.com all E3 long starting. I mean, I guess Saturday, because EA's got the EA Play.
Yep.
You'll be there, actually.
I will be there. Yep. Yeah. I have to go down the Friday before, so I will be down in LA, I think, for about a week.
Have they publicly announced what's going on at EA Play?
Yes, they've announced quite a few things. They're going to have Anthem, Sims, more on Star Wars.
Yes.
What else they're updating? They're, of course, doing their sports games. I'm not too sure. They haven't said anything about new stuff yet.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars Jedi is just the big one that they're leading with.
And
Apex Legends Season 2 stuff will be there. So there's plenty to check out. And, of course, I wanted to be there as soon as they said Apex. So, you know.
I mean,
I think it'll be fun. A fun start to the show.
For me, it's all about Jedi Fallen Order. So
yeah.
I actually will be I will, this sounds like a super cheesy, like self-promoting thing to say, but no, I will be reading IGN because I'm going to be waiting to see what you thought of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I won't be there. I get in Saturday night to get ready for Microsoft on Sunday. So I won't be there for EA.
Yeah. I'll be writing like a mad person as soon as I get out of that appointment. Just like,
yes.
All right, here we go.
So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then one more show. We'll be here next week doing, we got one more podcast for you. A fair warning, it may very well be a very quiet episode next week.
Yeah, we might just be twiddling our thumbs a little bit.
Yeah, you know, just the calm before the storm.
We say that, but there's been so much already. Like, there's leaks starting to happen. Like, there's two Pokemon things before it. Granted, not for our show, but, you know, there are things starting to happen. I know Microsoft will keep a lot of their stuff close to their chest because obviously they're really gearing up for this year.
Come on.
So like they have a lot.
Shit, yeah.
I love it. I love it so much. I love working with you, Ryan. You're the best.
You're the best.
So we have so much coming, and I think we're going to be the one show that just gets to sit here and we're like, "Well, we got to wait cuz our show is going to be the big one and they're going to have a lot to say."
True.
So we
That is true.
We do get the calm episode before.
We still need to find I got to actually this is like just extemporaneous thinking out loud. I got to figure out a time for us to reconvene and actually do a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that is
it's not on the calendar yet.
That is a thing for this year. Like, we do want to do Unlocked from E3 somewhere. I do like past episodes for different shows when we've just gotten very drunk and just recorded by a pool. That's fun.
That's
a different kind of show. I think we want to sit down. We're going to button up a little bit more. We have plenty to talk about, I'm sure.
So. Yeah, those are casts of yore. That's not really my style, but to each their own, certainly. But yeah, maybe because Sunday night, I just worry that we're gonna have too much writing to do to get stuff to get all the Xbox stuff posted. So I wonder if Monday we can find it. We'll have to see. Figure it out after we get out of here.
We'll talk to Brandon. He'll know.
Yeah, that's true. He is the sage, the all-knowing, all-seeing sage. All right. On the topic of E3, we're far from done with that.
Oh, yeah.
It is time for our Xbox E3 predictions. Normally, there'd be more of them, but since there are only two of us, we don't have quite as many. Brandon. So, by the way, congratulations, Destin.
Yeah, congrats, Destin.
That's why he's not here. And then, of course, Brandon already described why he's not here. So, and then Mark's out today. Yeah. So the bench is there's no bench.
Again, E3 time. Everyone's just actual chaos at our office. So
it's the Miranda and Ryan show.
Yeah.
Now let's get it started with ladies first. I'm going to let you kick it off. We'll take turns here. What do you think is going to happen? Give me an Xbox E3 prediction, Miranda Sanchez.
So I always go with safe ones.
Oh, come on.
I know. I'm boring. So I only wrote three safe ones, and I try not to go into like more obvious ones because I want to leave room for other people to like kind of claim those as well.
Okay.
So because we are going to have fewer people on the show, I'm going to make some like a few ones at the end.
Good. All right.
So the first one is definitely a safe one. I think we're going to get Halo Infinite story cinematic shown with the Xbox Scarlet announcement. And so kind of like in-engine, it's like, here it is.
Yes.
You know? I think when they revealed Guardians, or like Halo 5, they were doing, they did lead with the cloaked chief. Remember that?
Right, yeah, like 2 years before.
Yeah, and it was really weird. And that, of course, that never came back up again. Yeah. But after that initial tease, then they started getting into story stuff. And so I think this is the year that we're maybe going to get some story stuff.
Gosh, even that, I didn't even realize, or maybe I just hadn't thought about it in a while. Even that cool cloaked teaser, even that was part of the big marketing lie that was Halo 5.
Man, the marketing up to Halo 5 was really good, though.
It was just completely disingenuous.
Yeah.
It was so good, but so not the game at all.
I hope in like 10 years or however much time it needs for to have some distance from that they want to tell the story of like what happened with that game and what story shifts they had to change, because obviously they had a game in mind and the game that came out was not that game.
There's probably a book that could be written
about
that
game. Yeah, I
want to know.
What happened to the chief?
Anyway.
Where's Blue Team?
All right, so an infinite, so you think an actual, like a from the game.
Yes.
So not a, you know, like last year we got the just engine, here's like what we're going for tonally.
Yeah, it was so, just the teaser reveal.
Yeah.
I think we're actually going to get like something close to a cutscene.
Yes.
For the story to kind of introduce like what we should expect from Halo Infinite.
Running on the Anaconda to give a night to, so like, hey, here's Halo running on next gen.
Yes.
Get some.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope you're right about that. I hope you're right about that prediction. So I'll stay on the Anaconda bent here. And I will go so far as to say that I think Microsoft will announce specs for it. And I, but that's the extent of the details. I don't think we'll get a name, a price, or a release date. I think those are going to be for E3 2020.
Oh.
But I do think here at E3 2019, they will lay a few cards on the table and say, you know, it is on them to try and maintain this most powerful console ever marketing thing that they've latched onto, starting with the Xbox One X. So right. I think they'll say, here's what we're doing. Here's what's under the hood of this thing. We saw Sony do a little of that with the Wired piece with Mark Cerny,
mm-hmm.
with you know, the SSD drive, and I think they mentioned that it'd be, you know, capable of ray tracing. So I think Microsoft will take it a half a step further or a full step further and give some actual detailed specs.
You see, I really want them to announce it now. Just full announcement so that we get in spring next year, which would be kind of a weird launch time.
That's the kind of bold prediction that I'm looking for. See, in this segment.
Yeah, so like this, people always just like, oh, that wouldn't happen because this is, I'm like, no. I don't care if it could happen. That's what I want to happen.
Hey, Nintendo broke the mold by, you know, being the first major console, the Switch, to release outside of the fall timeframe.
And so that's what I'm thinking of. It's like, if you don't have these big next-gen consoles going head-to-head, like, give them a little bit of space. Like, if Xbox gets out first, it only puts it in a better position, right? And I want to play Halo sooner than later. So.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that for a minute, because we actually don't have a ton of other news stories to talk about. We've got nothing but time. I actually want to dig into that, because that's a really interesting idea. Like, let's explore that. Like, what if Microsoft announces everything and says this thing is, and dates it and names it and puts a price on it and says it's out March something 2020. We're going to be the first ones out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Halo's a day one title, and we're off to the races. I mean, suddenly we're in a situation where, sure, times are different, but we saw how well this worked for the 360
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, they'd had a 1 year head start, 11 months on the PS3. And that there were so many great games that you had to play. I mean, they were great only on the 360 for that first year.
Yep.
You know, the BioShocks, the Dead Risings, the Oblivions, the Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighters, the Fight Night Round 3s, all of that stuff. You had to buy it. You had to have a 360 for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if what you're saying actually happened. And it's not that you probably wouldn't necessarily see a ton of exclusive games, because we're seeing this blurring of the generations. And, you know, there will be an Xbox One version of Halo Infinite. Microsoft has already said that.
Mm-hmm.
But the best, it will be a step above to go play it on the Anaconda for 8-9 months until Sony gets the PS5 out the door.
Yeah. And I think that would just be a really good look for them. I mean, obviously, the Xbox One's definitely been behind the PS4 this entire generation.
Sure.
Like, that's nothing, no matter how much you love the Xbox, if you're saying otherwise, then you're just being a little goofy. And I think that would just be such a nice commitment to see them say, like, hey, we want to show you how much we care about this next gen, how serious we are about it, and we want to come first. And we're going to, you know, follow Nintendo's footsteps and release in the spring.
Yeah.
And do something really cool and get you guys a different time. And then they have, of course, lead time on next gen, which is just, would be awesome. Again, this is me thinking with my heart and not with necessarily my brain of like
that's okay.
what they've done. But this is what I think would be really cool for them to do. And even if they do like wait and launch Halo in the fall, I know they would have like plenty of interesting, you know, launch games to go with it.
I do think whatever the date is, Halo Infinite is a day one title.
That would make most sense.
For sure. I don't think there's any way that... I think they learned their lesson. Well, really, it's the last two Xboxes have not launched, have launched without a Halo. Only the original Xbox did.
Hmm.
And I think given how behind the eight ball Microsoft has been for the last 5-6 years, there's just no way that they will bring their biggest gun to the fight.
I think also them calling this Halo a spiritual reboot of the series and like invoking those original Halo feels, like there's no way they don't try to match that up with the original Halo as much as possible, right?
You're so right.
Like it just has to be so on parity that, you know, given that, like letting us relive all of that again.
Yeah. Yeah, you're totally right. And you know, just again, to entertain it a little more, the other thing that a spring launch would do is help alleviate any supply issues that seem to happen with most console launches, in the sense of maybe not entirely alleviate, but
right.
You know, you get by launching in the spring versus the fall, you know, you got your hardcore us that will be out there on day one, but then the masses who still want it and would be there, you know, looking for a holiday gift in the fall, the diehards will already be taken care of in the spring and the summer, and it would potentially make for an easier, you know, retail supply situation in the fall when maybe PS5 comes out and maybe it has some supply issues in the beginning, as most consoles do in the very beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I like where your head's. I think your heart's in the right place. That much is certain.
I think we've seen such a bigger emphasis on fall or spring releases that I think it could be entirely possible. Like it's just weird looking at my whole workflow over the past few years and how much it's changed. So like whenever we come back from, you know, December holiday and we're back in the office January, February, usually it's a slow time. It's been picking up so much and it does not stop. And then we get to E3 and it's like, well, we're still busy.
Still going.
And so the only dead time now is actually summer, which even then it's starting to get some releases coming out.
Not on Xbox, sadly. Yeah. Like Nintendo's got Mario Maker 2.
Yeah.
And sort of
so, like,
a couple other things.
There are things kind of peppered in there. Like it's still technically like the dead season, which is, we need that. But spring was also kind of dead for a long time. And so seeing it pick up even more and more, I mean, that just proves it more for me.
Yeah.
Would justify it for me because I'm already busy then anyway. So just give me the next Xbox sooner, please.
I love it. Let's see. You never know. Now that would be an ultimate E3 shocker if Microsoft came out and, you know, everyone's expecting them to say something about next gen. But if they went out and just gave the whole dog and pony show with a spring date, you know, that would be a collective gasp.
Oh, yeah,
in the
absolutely.
Room. That would be cool to see. So we'll find out.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go next. So my next prediction, I guess this is probably a reasonably safe one, but also, you know, it's probably maybe a 50-50 probability if I were putting odds on it. Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which is a game we've talked about here and there. It's stunning. The original was great. We played and covered it at last year's E3 at the Xbox Showcase. I had taken a demo and continue to be nothing but impressed with that game. There's literally no reason to think that game is going to be any less good than the fantastic first one.
It's absolutely shown well.
Yeah. So I think, given the radio silence we've seen on that game, plus the fact that it's fair to presume at this point that Gears 5 is the big fall title for Microsoft, I'm going to go out on a limb here a little bit. Maybe not that far, and just say that Ori and the Will of the Wisps will release on Sunday at the conference. They'll do a "and it's out now" thing, and it goes right. You know, Game Pass, get it right now.
Yeah.
So I think that could happen.
I absolutely do too. I think those "it's out now" release date reveals have been very, very popular, and we've seen them do well every E3. And then I think we've also seen our editors like bring certain systems with them, like, okay, if something comes out, I'm ready.
Yep. Yeah, we've learned. We've adapted.
Yeah, and so I think it would be really cool for them to jump on that train and do it too.
It would be it is the living nightmare of our reviews editor, Dan Stapleton. It is the bane of his existence when that stuff happens.
Yeah, you just see his face. He's just like, ugh. It's like, sorry. sorry, Dan. We're all excited, though.
But he's on the San Francisco home team. He's not actually going, so he'll be better equipped to deal with it.
Yeah, we'll stream him in for every conference so we just can, like, check on his face.
Yeah.
How you doing, Dan?
So we'll see. So you think I'm not too far out in left field on that one?
That's totally a fair prediction.
All right. Well, we'll see. I hope so, because I just want to play that game.
Yeah.
Me
too.
It's been a long time. It's been in the works for quite some while now, so... All right, Miranda, give me another one.
This one's a fine prediction. It's okay. So obviously, we're going to hear more about Gears. Like, how could
we
not?
Yeah.
So I think we will also get more information on Gears Tactics, but not Gears Pop.
Nice.
Yeah. That movie with Gears Pop was a little weird, but I kind of felt, having rewatched the conference since, I felt kind of okay about it, just because it's like, hey, let's get this other kind of Gears branded thing out of the way. Let's show you this, and then show you a little bit of tactics, and then move on to like our meat, right? Like the thing that they really want to lead with.
I just pictured, you said meat, and we're talking about Gears. I just, somebody the other day, I don't even remember how or why, had posted a little gif of, remember the meat cube from the tech demo, the GDC tech demo of Gears 2? Just that like bouncing cube of meat that if you poked it would like squish and stuff. So you said meat, and I thought of the meat cube.
Just tons of Gears references today. You know, it's fine.
That's what we
it's
do.
On the brain.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we saw that. We saw Microsoft execute the sort of multi-SKU announcement within Gears. We saw them execute it well at E3, and then we saw Blizzard really screw it up at BlizzCon with Diablo Immortal, where that should have been followed by Diablo 4 proper, and the rage would have been minimized.
Yeah.
But yeah, we saw Microsoft, you know, they gave us the fake out with the Gears Pop stuff and then went into proper Gears 5, and we were all like, okay, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, if that was all we would have gotten from Gears last year, I would have been so disappointed.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Funko is a brand that exists. I know some people love it a whole lot.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, exactly. It's like, when I think Gears, that's not really what I think of. That being said, like, I'm kind of curious about it. Like, just to see, like, what they do with that as a game and, like, what that looks like as a mobile game.
Also, if Gears Pop doesn't have, like, pipsqueaky voices like that...
They have to, yeah.
It's gotta happen.
It'd be so weird if they didn't. Oh, I almost pushed on my glasses.
Nice!
It's weird. but tactics, I'm really, really interested in, because
me
I
too.
Think it boils down, like, Gears gameplay in such a great way, and I want to see what that looks like and what we'll be getting on PC, so...
Yeah, and it's unfortunately not slated for an Xbox release right now, which is disappointing in the sense of, well, we saw Halo Wars do a great job.
Yeah,
on, as an Xbox game. Of course, it's actually started as an Xbox game, and then for Halo Wars 2, they had a PC version right alongside. So yeah, it is kind of a bummer that this is PC only. But yeah, I want to play it too, because I think Gears would lend itself, like Halo with Halo Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gears didn't start off as a strategy game the way that Halo did way, way back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Gears would adapt well to a strategy format with the cog and the locust.
Yeah, you know, for bringing it back then, there's a lot of history where they can explore within that universe. And I just want to see more of it, because it felt like that was such a quick reveal on the last E3. So it'd be nice to get a little bit more on that before they move on.
You think, so tell me, what do you think? Is that game going to come out this year? Because Gears 5 is certainly coming out this year.
I would say no.
Yeah.
I think they would maybe wait for 2020 on that. Like, space out your Gears stuff. And I think that's probably good, too.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. It would seem like just killing its... They'd
it's
be killing
lot.
Their own thing.
Yeah, it's like, why have them compete with each other, you know?
Right.
I mean, even if Tactics is only on PC, it's still, you know... If, as a person who likes Gears a lot, I'm going to prioritize 5 over Tactics because I want to know more about the story.
And Gears 5 is on PC.
Yeah.
So you really would be competing with yourself.
Yeah.
It may not be on Xbox. Gears Tactics may not be on Xbox, but Gears 5 is on PC.
Yeah. So
there it is. Okay. So give me another one, Miranda. Let's keep this train rolling.
Oh, man. Me again?
Yeah, you again.
All right. Another simple one. I would guess that we will get a new Elite controller revealed.
Is this finally the year?
Oh, please. Please.
You know, it's funny you say that because I thought about that one when I was when we talked about like we're going to do this week. All right, yeah. And I sat down to think about what are my predictions? What do I want to go on the air with? That crossed my mind, but I stopped myself because I thought, you know what? At this point, we've waited this long. We still haven't got it. I think they will do it, but on Anaconda, on Scarlet, and so any little tweaks that they might make to the controller, obviously I don't know if it's 100% confirmed, but it's like 95% guaranteed that all Xbox One stuff is going to work with the new console. But yeah, they might still the default controller that's included with the system could have some little, you know, ergonomic tweaks or what have you. So I think that the Elite 2.0 will be with that.
So I was thinking that they could announce it and officially confirm that, hey, this will work with your Xbox One X and the new Xbox.
Yeah.
And so this is like their introduction to it. And it'd be kind of a quick thing, right? Because I don't think they would want to spend a lot of time on here's a controller.
Right.
When they can show so much more. So I think that would make sense there. But also, again, I could see them putting on a side stream and just announcing it then in the press release.
What do you want out of a new, pardon me, a new Elite?
So I have a new one that a fan sent me, which is very, 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 very kind of them and sent them very thankful message for that. And just based on the reviews that I've seen of the Elite for people who have had it for a long time is just its durability. Like it just needs to be more stable. It just needs to be better put together. And so I think that's really what it needs to be. I would like to see more colors. I know it's like silly thing.
No, it's
but
not.
I mean, if I'm having
it's
this
that
special
much money.
Controller,
yeah.
I want it to look different. Like yes. I want it to really feel like this kind of, like this is my special controller. Like obviously it looks a little different when you like glance at them, but I think my favorite controller as far as design is my Sea of Thieves controller. Like it is beautiful.
Yes.
It's like golden trigger. It has like glow
in the tooth.
Dark.
Yeah,
it's
the gold
it's
tooth.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I look at my Elite controller, which is nice and sleek, but I just wish I had seen a little bit different design from that and something that just makes it look like a little bit more special. The white one they release is nice as well, but again, it's just black and white. Like, give me something cooler. Like give me gradients or something, you know?
Totally fair. Yeah, I've had one since it came out because I think I reviewed it for us and then I just never brought it back to the office. It is property of IGN, but it lives with me.
That's fine.
Yeah, my A button is like sticky now.
Yeah.
I don't have – now. The common complaint I see from a lot of Elite owners is I think it's the – I want to say – now I'm blanking out. I think it's the bumpers or triggers.
I think I saw the bumpers too.
But any
one
case,
of those.
Yeah, my A button is sticky, so yeah, I could go for a new one, but
yeah.
It does. It is a great controller, and I do recommend it. But yeah, at this point, like, you certainly wouldn't recommend anybody buy one before E3, just
right.
in case,
just in case,
right?
You know, yeah, I feel like I've been holding out for so long, but they just, you know, haven't said anything, so.
Fair enough.
It could be the time.
I hope so. I hope you're right.
I just want to. I want to see them announce so many things. Like they just keep hyping up. It's like this is gonna be the biggest one yet. You know, we have so much to show. It's our year. And I'm like, okay, great. Here's my wish list. Please fill them all. Thank you.
It's like your list for Santa. You mailed it to North Pole care of Phil Spencer.
Yeah.
You know, one Microsoft way or whatever
the
address
together
is.
Right now, right?
All right. I think Fable is going to officially be teased with confirmation that it's Playground. So by that, I'm talking about it might just be a little quick thing of music, a logo that either says Fable 4 or I think more likely it's going to be a reboot at this point. I think
that'd be fine.
You know, new developer.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Fable 3 wasn't super well received.
Love Fable 3.
I know. I mean, it's a good game,
yeah.
But it sort of has a bit of a stink on it, like fairly
absolutely.
Or not.
Yeah.
So I think a reboot is probably the way they will go. So maybe just music, logo, and then the Playground Games logo. Everybody will be like, oh, yeah, that's going to be good. But, yeah, I don't think we'll see it for a while because, you know, we talked about this a lot after all the studio acquisitions that Microsoft made.
Right.
And they're still staffing up. They've been staffing up that second team at Playground, presumably to work on Fable. That's game. I really, really, really doubt it's a launch game. I think it's probably the like a year later. So let's whether we're looking at a fall or spring 2020 yeah. Scarlet release, I think maybe Fable could be one of their big games for fall 2021.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, maybe even 2022, depending. I just don't know, you know, how development is.
I don't think
on that.
I definitely would not want that to be a launch title, just because I think I need these bigger games to be released, you know, with some time in between.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think that's a fair estimate, about like a year later.
Yeah. So that's, but I do think they'll need something to show something from all the studio acquisitions. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them, like, you know, we've kind of gone and analyzed these before. A lot of those teams that they acquired are coming, they either just came off big projects or were just finishing them up. So,
yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of, seemingly not a lot of those new studios would have anything necessarily ready to show, let alone ship this year or maybe even next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Ninja Theory might have something, because Hellblade was a good, was that 3 years ago now? I think. And then they ported it over to Xbox.
Yeah, it's come out on so many new systems since it originally came out, so it feels like it's a newer game than it actually is.
I think, like, so Ninja Theory, maybe, but, you know, Playground, obviously, they're the A-team, or at least Team 1, works on Forza Horizon, and the rumor is there is no Forza this year, because it would be Motorsport's turn.
Mm-hmm.
Which would mean seemingly that would push Horizon back as well, and thus where I'd previously thought that Horizon would launch with Scarlet, which would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Instead, Motorsport 8 would, and then Horizon would be the following holiday, which would be fine. I'm all for
that. Works for me.
Let Playground and the literal wizards that work there have an extra year on new tech.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that sounds like a good deal. To me. So let's see. Oh, yeah. August 2017 for Hellblade. So it's been 2 years.
2 years.
So, yeah, they might. I don't know if they'll have anything for release this fall, but probably ready to announce something. Yeah. But then you've got Obsidian,
mm-hmm.
who had just come off Pillars of Eternity Deadfire.
Mm-hmm.
And then their other team is on the Outer Worlds
mm-hmm.
for Private Division, the sort of quote-unquote indie label from 2K. So you got to figure the Pillars team, they're not going to be ready to have anything.
No.
You know, they'll have just started on whatever their first official Microsoft project is.
Mm-hmm.
Undead Labs just shipped State of Decay last year.
Yep.
So you've got, you know, cross them off the list. Coalition is obviously readying Gears now, and then Gears Tactics. You're right. Well, you know, we'll see something there.
Mm-hmm.
343 is on Halo Infinite, obviously. And Turn 10, the aforementioned Forza Motorsport 8, I guess, for next year for launch of the console. So that doesn't leave. And then InXile was the other RPG studio. They're on Wasteland 3 right now. They're still working on, they're still developing that game. And to my knowledge, they're not a large team.
I don't think so.
So they're, you know, they're not going to have anything new to show.
Right.
And who am I leaving out? I mean, that's the Initiative is the you know, new from the ground up. They're still hiring.
Zero chance. I feel like maybe 0.1% chance they would show anything at all.
I so agree with you.
Yeah, it's very obvious. They're like, we're still hiring. We need this and this and this. And it's like, yeah, okay, you guys, many years until you say something, I think.
They're tasked with the quadruple A. Like,
what does that even mean?
Well, for all intents and purposes, they are tasked with making the next Halo. Not literally Halo, but
the next
Halo caliber
flagship, like, franchise.
You know, Naughty Dog-like, you know, Halo, you know, that caliber. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're going to be probably staying quiet for a while they build whatever they're going to build.
A little bit of work, you know?
Yeah. And that's just about everybody.
Yeah.
So there just aren't a lot of, anyway, that just circles me back to Fable. You know, you could tease Fable. It's something people know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing you could get away with teasing just a logo for, and people would get excited.
Absolutely.
Whereas a new property from one of the new studios, you can't just put a logo up and expect people to get fired up.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Fable, you can get this guy fired up for sure.
And we know what to expect from it, at least from what we've played before.
Yes.
And just having an idea of like confirming the studio, then we have, you know, all of our questions kind of fulfilled for now.
So, all right. I know every year there's always a generous Unlocked listener that keeps score of our predictions.
Oh, yeah,
so,
just the two of us is here.
Yeah, it is easier to keep score with just the two of us. So if anybody wants to volunteer to do that, I know half points are always – there are half points possible if you're partially right on your prediction.
Cool. Well, we have a lot. So.
So we'll see how we did in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But for now, let's move on to the news. I'm going to go on record and say, I don't think we need those other guys. I think you and I are doing a great
job. We're doing fine. Yeah. Sorry, all. You're fired from the show, at least.
Look at that. Look how quick that was.
Sorry.
Miranda just
we're good.
Gave him the axe. You're done. No, we missed you guys. Come back soon.
Yeah.
Okay. The news. The dominated this week by, really, Call of Duty. Call of Duty 2019. Shocking news. There will be a Call of Duty game this year. It is Infinity Ward's turn, as things have gone. We talked last week about the big shakeup. But for now, for 2019, no shakeup. Nope. It is Infinity Ward's turn. And the internets are alleging that this year's game is a Modern Warfare game, but not Modern Warfare 4, but instead Call of Duty : Modern Warfare. When I say that, Miranda, you are one of, if not the biggest Call of Duty fan in this office. What emotions go through your mind?
When just what?
It's just kind of what?
It's like, really? I mean, Modern Warfare is so beloved in like Call of Duty fandom, and kind of retreading, that's weird. Especially, it's like, hey guys, we're just kicking up the 4, and now it's a new game.
Well, what do you think it would, if that's true, if that is accurate?
Yeah.
What do you picture when you picture a game that is called, that you know nothing else about, that is simply called Call of Duty Modern Warfare?
Well, to me, that says a reboot.
Yeah.
That says they're taking what we know of Modern Warfare and just redoing it all, which is to me very boring, just because like seeing these reboots when it's just barely a little bit more than 10 years after something came out is just really uninspired. And we see this so much in Hollywood. And
Spider-Man,
yeah,
of course we have a great Spider-Man.
Yeah,
now
we do.
So what if this could be great too?
So okay, so this one's gonna be fine, and then when they reboot it again later, we're gonna find the perfect Modern Warfare.
Right, third time's the charm.
Yeah, it's like everyone, oh yes, I love Modern Warfare. And then, you know, we just...
Wait a minute. Are you saying that we had...
So we had Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. Like, wait a minute. We're heading into the Andrew Garfield phase?
Yeah, that's what we're...
Oh, no! So when do we get to the Tom Holland phase?
So yeah, that's what we're saying. So just in a few years, guys, we will get the better version of Modern Warfare. No, just goofs aside, I think it's weird for them to kind of go back to this. I think what we were talking about with Infinity Ward is that they're still kind of... all these studios just have to like kind of find their rhythm, right? And like their identity for like what their Call of Duties look like. And it's kind of been shaken up as these studios themselves have been shaken up a lot. Infinity Ward felt like they're kind of getting their flow, as did Sledgehammer.
Yes.
But again, people leaving just makes, especially people
right.
high up leaving, that kind of shape what their identities of their games are.
Oh, absolutely.
And their tones. And it's hard to say what this is going to look like if they're retreading someone else's trial, essentially. It's like, hey, you guys did this before. We're a different team now, and we want to try this again. And I'm super skeptical because I prefer seeing new things, and I know it's hard for Call of Duty because if you're doing a new Call of Duty every year, there's only so much you can bring to the table without like just you know, go into space or something, and they've done that.
Right,
and
it's like The Simpsons. So like, Simpsons did it! Like, yeah. Oh, Call of Duty 17 did it 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, there's only so many places you can go. So it'll be really interesting to see what their vision is for this. I think that's what I'm most curious about. Yeah. It's like, what do they keep the same? Are they doing the same characters? Is it, like, the same story, just, like, new? I mean, obviously, the 4 is gone, so that's a change.
Well, let me give you, so I generally try to be optimistic in life and in video games, because after all, these are toys we're talking about. These are sources of enjoyment. It's a hobby.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example of how right this could possibly go. Doom 2016.
That's true. Yeah.
That is a game. I was in the same boat you are before we learned about what Doom ultimately was going to be in 2016, because it had been in development for a while. This, I mean, seems to be on a regular Call of Duty clockwork, but okay, just roll with me here. You know, okay, there was a new Doom game in development. It had been in quite a while. It's like, well, a lot of the original talent that made the Dooms that I loved is long gone. John Carmack, John Romero, a lot of those folks had moved on. Oh, can a new Doom possibly be, can it even hold a candle to the originals? And it turned out that this mix of old Doom talent from id Software and new talent that came in who grew up on Doom.
Yeah.
Managed to find this incredibly perfect formula of making it feel and have sort of the soul of the original Doom, but very much in a modern context with a modern appeal to it. And it turned out to be one of my favorite shooters in years.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go right. It is not impossible.
Absolutely.
For modern warfare to go right, because seemingly that's what we have here is new talent, because obviously, you know, they had hired those Naughty Dog folks, the couple of those two leads that they were touting back with Infinite Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And then presumably there are still people there that were there. You know, Jason West and Vince Zampella didn't take everyone them to Respawn. They did take a lot of people.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, this mix of old and new talent at Infinity Ward on a rebooted Modern Warfare, it's got a shot.
Yeah, and I mean, I never want to discredit new talent either. Like, of course, you want new people coming into the space to, like, kind of innovate, right? And
yes.
See, it's like, hey, I know what we loved about these old things, but maybe these things don't work anymore, and we can change them this way to be more modern. And that's always important. I think maybe the coolness about this is that it's stripping it of some of the flashiness as we've seen in a lot of more modern Call of Duties and just kind of keeping it back into a simple focus on, like, the gunplay, right? And getting that good time to kill, just perfecting all those little details that we'd come to love about Call of Duty, and seeing what more of a modern warfare looks like. It's very goofy.
There's one thing that I will flip this table. Okay. If it turns out that this game is real, and if it doesn't have a campaign in it, I'll flip the table. Because if you're going to reboot Modern Warfare, which has the best Call of Duty campaign ever, the Modern Warfare 1, Call of Duty 4, I know there are people out there that prefer Modern Warfare 2's campaign. I will respectfully disagree, but certainly not to argue with you over your opinion. I think Call of Duty 4 has hands down the best campaign this series has ever had. But yeah, if you're going to reboot Modern Warfare, it damn well better have not only a campaign, but a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
You better bring it.
I don't see a world where they do this and not have a campaign.
But last year, they told us, hey, you don't need a campaign, whatever, give us just $60. Here's Blackout, here's a rich multiplayer suite, and here's Zombies.
Yeah.
So they just told us a year ago, less than that, that a campaign is not necessary.
I don't see them doing that again.
Well, I really hope you're right, because if they're not, and the future of Call of Duty is a campaign free one, and you're going to drop a Modern Warfare reboot on me,
right?
I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, I think taking this name, just taking the name and saying we're doing this, but no campaign would just be a little weird.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. Hopefully, I'm sure one way or the other, we will have more to talk about that very soon. Mm-hmm. Now, the only other real big news story I wanted to talk about this week is Dead Island 2. Remember that game?
No.
I know. You were probably in junior high when that. No, not quite that. But I might not be too far off.
When was it?
It's been a while.
I looked this up earlier. It's like it was announced in like 2015.
Maybe even 2014. But yeah, if you want to check my math on that, we'll see. But the point being here, Dead Island 2 is somehow not dead. It is Alive Island 2. And there was a THQ Nordic late last week, and it included a slide during their presentation. Mm-hmm. And that slide had on it a number of upcoming releases from the increasingly large portfolio publisher. They got a lot of projects in the works, like 80 games in the works, they said.
Yeah, I looked over the story. It's just that's a lot of games.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of them are mobile, which is, you know, can be turned out much more quickly, but that is a lot of video games. I mean, you know, they've been buying up IPs
so much.
Left and right, sort of those dormant middle tier kind of IPs. You know, they bought the Destroy All Humans IP. They've got Darksiders under their umbrella now, all this stuff. But and Dead Island 2 is, of course, one of their titles. So the CEO of THQ Nordic, Lars Wingefors, he said, quote, "Dead Island 2 still being worked on. Stay tuned." And the slide showed a logo for Dead Island 2 and just confirmed that it's still coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. No other information.
It's kind of funny looking at the people also ask section on Google when you look up Dead Island 2.
Yeah.
The top results are, has Dead Island 2 been released? Has it been canceled? Are they still making it?
Yeah.
What happened to the new Dead Island?
Those are all
very
fair
valid questions.
Because
obviously it's just been kind of, I forgot this was in development.
I did
a
too,
long time.
Honestly.
Like, right.
I'd written it off.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a dismissive, like,
I mean, just been so quiet.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. So when was it announced?
It was.
You got it there?
Now.
So 2014 or 2015? Are we on 4 years or five with this game?
Okay. It was announced at Sony's E3 2014 press conference.
5 years. That is a long time. 5 years. My goodness. Well, this is one of those times where I'm not in the industry on the development or business side. So, you know, I take what I take my armchair speculation with a grain of salt, but like I would be curious to talk to a business person in the industry and ask, like, just again, innocently, why not cancel this? Like, why, if it's been in development in some way, shape, or form for 5 years, how can you possibly recoup your cost on that?
Right. So the change devs in 2016.
Right.
So that was kind of a refresher there.
But then all the work before that's a sunk cost.
Right.
That money's gone. So it's still part of the game's budget. It's just sure. Not from this new develop. It's Techland now, right?
It's Sumo Digital.
Oh, Sumo. That's right. It was Techland.
It was Jaeger Development.
Hey, God. Why am I? Okay. Well, I'm just an idiot.
It was 26. It was a long time ago. No one can blame me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for going easy on me. Nope. Boy, yeah. So, and Sumo just came off of Crackdown 3, at least one of their teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they presumably have had another team that's also been some number of them that have been working on Dead Island 2. And for all we know, maybe the entire team or maybe the Crackdown team's now rolling on to Dead Island 2 at this point.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, the one answer that comes to mind of my own question of why keep this going is that they see franchise potential, mm-hmm. and that maybe they don't make up their money on 2, but maybe with 3 and 4 they would.
Yeah, like maybe some of the assets they're developing now they can kind of reutilize for the next one, have it a little bit of a turnaround, and they see how this could like kind of build up and be a better game.
I mean, I don't want to see this canceled. If it's going to be a good game, sure. You know, I don't, and I certainly don't want to see any like developers out of work or, you know, So I'm not saying any of that. I'm just sort of from a business perspective, like, man, how has this game not been canceled?
Right. And I think there's also a history of just games being announced and tweaked forever, and then sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. And
yeah.
You just kind of got to roll with it.
Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is coming to Xbox, just not first. PS4 first.
I mean, whenever I think of this kind of weird development cycle, I think of Fortnite.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely...
That's like a weird
it's a historical
one for
sure. Case, yes.
Yeah, and maybe an outlier, especially since it was announced in 2011 and then officially released in 2017.
Yeah, it was at least a few judges' days that I went to. And we were all like, and by the second or third one, we were all kind of like, this still isn't out yet?
Yeah.
And then who got the last laugh? Epic got the last laugh. Like, oh, it's the biggest game ever, or at least in the world right now.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I guess the difference too with Dead Island, and it hasn't been in every judge's week, and it's not constantly reminding us that it's there. It was just a, hello, by the way, yes.
Yeah.
We're still working on it, don't worry. That's fine too.
So we'll see. I mean, I wonder if it will show up on Microsoft Stage this year, since they're the only third-party stage there is, and Deep Silver's not doing their own press conference. Or sorry, THQ Nordic. It was a Deep Silver. Mm-hmm. I've just got my history all jumbled up with this game.
Did you know that there are a lot of publishers and studios out there?
THQ acquired Deep Silver, so yeah, I'm not entirely wrong.
No, there's so much.
There's a kernel of truth in the innocent lies that I accidentally spout. But, yeah, I wonder if we might see it at E3 this year, or if they, you know, if this was purely just a fiscal, like, hey, this still exists, and they'll show it later.
Right.
Either way, I'm curious to see what it's turned into.
Me too.
One other note, though, here, before we wrap things up, is that slide that I mentioned that showed a bunch of THQ Nordic's projects. One of them, towards the bottom, it shows Top Secret Volition Project.
Ooh.
What do you think that is?
I liked your notes in thinking that it could be a Saints Row reboot.
Yeah, because I think that was my first thought too, was they're gonna, because Agents of Mayhem, if you remember, and you probably don't, because it's just unfortunate, that game just came and went. Mm-hmm. It was, we revealed that game with IGN first.
Yep.
It was a exclusive reveal, and it just never seemed to grab people's attention, either through our coverage or all the way up through when it came out. It just sort of it was fine. Like, it was a fun game. Mm-hmm. I think we gave it a 7-something when it came out. I think its review scores were generally around there. Are you going to give me a good sneeze?
Oh, no.
No? No? It's,
it passed. Just, it was a little bad.
It went,
sorry, guys.
It went back into your brain?
Yeah. It was just, anyway.
Miranda has the best sneezes.
I sneeze a lot today, especially. Apologies. I've also been sniffling a lot. Sorry.
No, it's quite all right. It's still that time of year.
Yeah, but with Volition and Saints Row, so Agents of Mayhem didn't really click the same way. And with, I think, Saints Row, there's always the questions like, what do you do next?
Right.
Like,
they painted themselves into a corner.
Yeah. So seeing like a reboot or some sort of thing with that, I think with new tech and stuff, you can make it just bigger and better, kind of more explosive, crazier sort of game.
Yeah. And again, like Fable, I think you're right. This is another one where a reboot makes a ton of sense, because they can...
More so than like a Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, they could bring it back, you know, maybe start it a little more grounded, but with some of the goofy elements, rather than like have it be where they left off, which was like superheroes or hell or superheroes in hell. I don't quite remember where it left off. I know, you know, 3... I think is the peak of the series. I know there are some ride or die Saints Row 2 fans out there. Mm-hmm. Plenty, all full respect to you guys. For me, 3 was where it was perfected. 4 was just a bridge too far for me. It just got a little too nuts. And then there was like a standalone expansion or two. There was Gat Out of Hell, and there might have been one other thing in there too. Anyway. Saints Row was the first thing I thought of as well. But then Dan Stapleton, who I sit next to, gave an equal probability answer, I think, and that is could be a new red faction.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a minute ago when my brain was super jumbled over what THQ Nordic owned and whatnot, the long story short is the Red Faction IP is now once again in Volition's control.
Mm-hmm.
It hadn't been after the THQ bankruptcy auction years ago.
Right.
THQ Nordic had bought the IP. Deep Silver had bought Volition. So Volition couldn't make a Saints, a Red Faction game. And now THQ Nordic has acquired Deep Silver. So Volition has their own IP back, which is awesome.
That's always exciting.
That's so great.
I'm so glad you got your baby back.
Yeah. I mean, that's just such good news for certainly for them and hopefully for gamers as well. And we did just get that remastered edition of, of Red Faction. So, you know, seemingly maybe testing the waters there.
Raising the interest.
Yes.
And just maybe getting people caught up. And it's a good starting point if they were to announce something new.
So, yeah, I think, I mean, the key to a Red Faction game versus a Saints Row game would be you'd have to bring a next generation version of their Geomod destruction engine.
Right.
That was the whole hook of, I mean, not that it wasn't a good game otherwise. It was a good game otherwise, but when you think of Red Faction, you think of the insane destructibility,
mm-hmm.
particularly with, I mean, Guerrilla was not the last game. Armageddon was the last game. But Red Faction Guerrilla was, the best one. That was on 360. And, yeah, so I wonder, does the programming talent, do the same programmers that wrote the Geomod engine still work there? Maybe. I don't know. You know, I just have no idea. Or
right.
If not, you know, you got to hire some, you got to bring in some folks if you don't have them already who really could make a piece of technology that focuses on that. So, yeah, I think a Saints Row reboot or a new Red Faction are, it's, I would bet In-N-Out Lunch for sure that it's one of those.
Okay.
There's,
yeah.
I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that Volition's next project is a new IP, or I think it's one of those two.
I think, actually, like, talking about it more, I almost preferred Red Faction just because we have had so much Saints Row.
Yes.
And we've had so much.
We have.
It's been a great time. We did some crazy I was going to say, I mean, we've been cursing, and, like, I don't curse on the shows. I was like, we've just done some crazy shit. Like, it's great. Maybe we move on to something different. Their other IP.
Yeah.
Especially since it's now back with them.
Right. They haven't been able to make a Red Faction game since Armageddon, which was, I want to say,
I just had it up here.
You're going to look, thank you. Yeah, double check me. But I want to say that was something like 2011. Let's play Test Ryan's Memory. Watch Ryan
lose
final again.
Answer, 2011.
Yeah, that's my final answer.
You're correct.
Yes, I'm not totally, I haven't totally lost it. Yeah, 20, I mean, that's 8 years. That's a long, long time. So they're probably, you know, well, to your point of them getting their baby back, like, that's, if that happens to you, think about that. A thing that you developed from nothing and worked for years on between Red Faction 1, 2, Guerrilla, and Armageddon, you know, you're at Volition, you've built this up, you're proud of it, and then your publisher that owns you goes under, you get auctioned off to the highest bidder. Your job and your studio is saved. That's good. You go to Deep Silver. But the thing you created, Red Faction, doesn't go with you. It goes somewhere else. That sucks. But then through chances of fate, you get it back. You're going to want to probably make a new one, right?
Yeah,
you're
going to want to. That makes the most sense.
You're not just going to leave it sitting collecting dust on the shelf.
Yeah, I guess depending on who's calling the shots, I would say they probably would want to say, hey, now that we have this back, we should do something with
it. Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to just, it's fine.
So we shall see.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more we talk, the more I'm convinced it's Red Faction.
Yeah, now I'm just like, well, obviously it's got to be Red Faction.
So we'll see. All right. That is, that said, just those kind of two key news stories this week. Hopefully you enjoyed our E3 predictions as well. Loot box. Should I give you a chance by yourself, or should I wait?
I think it's a little unfair for me to be the only one.
Is it trivia. Okay? All right.
I mean, I'll take a free point.
I should say that's for trivia. For loot box, let's see here.
We got a good question.
What's this?
I don't know how much time we have though.
It's been an hour. You know, why don't we wrap here? We can hang on to these.
Week.
Yeah, these are always more fun as roundtable discussions. So we'll be nice and let our coworkers back in on the fun.
Mm-hmm.
But that means we are done. And so, Miranda Sanchez, this was super fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
This was Unlock 395. What are you working on? What should we be? I know one thing you're going to say, so go ahead and say it.
Yes, of course. E3 Games Wiki. So if you want to check out all my hard work, I scrape Twitter and the rest of the internet every single morning to find out any new games that have been confirmed officially for E3. So please check that out. We also have a very nice conference schedule with multiple time zones and like kind of where you can watch the E3 conferences.
It's really useful.
Yeah, so like just keep those bookmarked. And then as things are revealed on these conferences, we have individual conference pages, and those are completely fleshed out with everything that was announced. Like we'll also have like the VOD of the conference. So please check out that guide. It's my baby for several years now, and I've been taking care of it. It's like kind of, I think, a toddler at this point. I don't know. I mean, it's been in other hands before, but this is my version of it. So
you still have to care and feed it, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, not self-sufficient.
It kind of hibernates after E3 for a while, and then like in February, it wakes up. Am I right? Hey, I'll give you some attention now. So this is my relationship with the web page. Anyway, so that's kind of one of my big things. I also have another piece going up this week from part of my trip to Japan.
Nice.
So I went to the people who made the anime Kill la Kill, and also the Guilty Gear developers, and A+, who made the Little Witch Academia video game, and talked to them about their upcoming project, which is Kill la Kill, the game IF, which is an interesting title, and it makes a lot of sense whenever you talk about it. And I interviewed all of their teams about how this game kind of came to be and sort of their trials in making this game possible. And it's really interesting, so I hope you'll give that very long piece a read whenever it goes up.
Fantastic. And yeah, I guess we'll remind you again more next week, but you can watch all of the E3 activities, including our E3 live show, where we'll have games on every 15, 20 minutes showing off new stuff. You know, that runs all week. So that and the press conferences, all that, you can watch it on the IGN Xbox One app.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch it on our YouTube channel, our Twitch channel, the homepage. Anywhere we are, we'll be airing all that stuff. So, and then we mentioned IGN.com/E3 is our E3 sort of homepage. So do check that out. We try to make it as easy as possible for you to follow along with all things E3. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. I don't think I've... Well, I have a big preview of a thing posting later this week.
Okay.
So look out for that. You'll know it when you see it. I guess I'll put it that way. So very curious to see the reaction to that piece once it goes up. But otherwise, I think that will do it. So, for Miranda Sanchez, I'm Ryan McCaffrey. This was Unlocked 395. We'll see you one more time before E3 next week.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.